Hi, everyone. Morning. Nice to see you all. Morning. That's more like it. I'm Karen. I'm a pastor here at West Ryde, and it's my privilege to speak on this passage today. As Chris said before, we're over halfway through our series on Jesus Includes that's based on the Gospel of Luke. And at this time, I think it's important to remember how Luke started his gospel, how he described Jesus at the beginning of his ministry when he entered the synagogue in Nazareth and opened the scroll and announced that the kingdom of God was here. And he reads from Isaiah 61. Oh. He reads, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then in verse 3, he goes on to talk about bestowing on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. But here in our passage today, Jesus tells us that this kingdom, this binding of the brokenhearted and joy to those who mourn, doesn't come to world leaders or kings and queens or the richest people in the world. It doesn't even come to adults. It comes to little children. So that's what we're here to explore today. But why don't I pray before we continue? Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage today. And we pray you would open our hearts to what it means and to help us learn how to receive you, how to receive your love like a little child. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 15, we're told that some parents bring their little children to Jesus for him to touch them, to bless them. And this word for little children that Luke uses in the Greek is actually the word for infants. So it's not even Raha's age or Amelia's age. It's referring to toddlers, preschoolers, kids who haven't even started primary school yet. So they're really, really little. And this is actually a common practice back in the time of Jesus, for the parents to bring their very small children, even babies, to the famous rabbi or teacher of that day, for that teacher to touch the children and then bless them. So it's a common thing that parents did. But here we see that the disciples scold the parents when they see them. Now, why were the disciples scolding these parents for bringing their children, something that was normally done? It seems to me that the disciples thought that the children and their parents were a nuisance. They were bothering Jesus, like they were interfering with the real work that Jesus had come to do, the real work that they had been trained to do by Jesus. You see, I feel like the disciples had forgotten they were just ordinary men when Jesus called them. You know, four of them were fishermen: Andrew, Peter, James, and John. One of them had been a tax collector. So they were just ordinary people when Jesus had called them into his inner circle. And Jesus did life with them. He shared the secrets of God's kingdom with them. He trained them to heal, to preach, to perform miracles. And so this was an incredible privilege. And it seems to me that the disciples had allowed Jesus' inclusion of them into his inner circle, into God's kingdom, to go to their heads. And for me, this part in verse 15 is very important for us who have been Christians for a long time. Those of us who serve at church or who lead church. Because who do we as Christians and as the church today tend to scold or judge for trying to come near to Jesus? Who do we consider a nuisance or unworthy to receive the kingdom of God? You know, the list of people whom the church is seen by everyone outside to be a nuisance or to be unworthy to approach God, this list is long. It starts from small children in church. A lot of churches see young babies and toddlers as a nuisance to be included in the church service. And it continues to people of color, racial minorities, indigenous people who fight for rights, women who fight for equality in the workplace, gay people who fight for gay rights, same-sex attracted couples, women who preach, women who lead church. It goes on. We have a very long list of people we tend to think are a nuisance or not important enough to come to Jesus. Now, we need to be careful, I think, that we don't start letting God's welcome of us into his kingdom get to our heads like the disciples. We need to be careful about thinking we have the right to judge who is in or who is out, to judge who is a nuisance and who isn't, who should bother Jesus, who shouldn't. Because no matter how long we've been Christians for or what our position is in church or how long we've been studying the Bible for, it doesn't give us the right to turn anyone away, nobody. That's God's right, not ours. So Jesus says this in so many words. When he sees this happening, he says to the disciples, "Let the children come to me." He calls the children to him, the little children, and he says, "Don't stop them." Why does Jesus say this? I think it's because to Jesus, no one was unimportant. To Jesus, no one was just a. They were not just a little kid. They were not just a woman. They were not just a person of color or just a sinner, an adulteress, a tax collector, a criminal. Jesus looked at these toddlers, these preschoolers, these babies, and he didn't see just little children. He saw vulnerable, open-hearted souls who completely trusted and relied on the provision of God, who received God's kingdom with gratitude, with wonder and joy. Every person with a genuine need and desire for God was welcomed by Jesus to receive God's kingdom. And that, I think, is a wonderful thing because God looks at the heart. So Jesus then goes on to say, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these little children." Now, I've put discussion here, but I'm going to just ask you to call out, since we're quite low in numbers. What do you think Jesus means by this? that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these little children. Anyone? Nobody? They weren't questioning everything. Yeah, they were curious. Their intention was to know who Jesus was. Yeah, that's true. So I think what Jesus meant was that. And also, if we start to think of it, what is a child? What exactly is the spirit and the heart of a child? Well, it's someone who relies completely on their parents or their caregiver for everything. Protection, shelter, roof over their heads, sustenance, food, clothing, guidance, love. See, Jesus reminds us if we hope to enter the kingdom, it must be in the spirit of little children who never think of earning their way to God. What can they get out of this relationship? They simply go to God with open hands and open hearts, with joy, wanting to learn, as Ray said before. And then, not only does Jesus say that the kingdom of God belongs to these little children, he also says, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. I feel like Jesus, you know, we're coming along and we think we know everything, and then Jesus says something like this. What does he mean? What does he mean that if we don't receive the kingdom like a little child, that we can't enter it? It's very confusing. Now, there's this old Christian practice that's been practiced throughout the ages, a practice of prayer and meditation that uses the concept of praying or approaching God with the beginner's mind. Now, the beginner's mind is about approaching God every time we pray or open the Bible or think of Jesus, speak to Jesus, as though for the very first time. Because what a lot of Christian monks and philosophers have said, that what's important to keep at the front of the Christian mind, of in our Christian life, is that we are always beginners in some ways. I was speaking to Ray earlier in the week, and he was saying how the more he knows about God, the more he realizes how little he knows. And we know that Ray and Fran and people like that at church have been Christians for a lot longer than some of us have been alive. So I think that shows us what the beginner's mind is, that we're always learning, that we're coming to God in the spirit of a child, a little child, with childlike trust, with a spirit of curiosity and wonder and exploration, as though we're at the beginning of a long hike. And we're staring into unexplored territory. We're just excited to get started. No pressure. We're just open, ready to encounter whatever comes our way. That is the concept of the beginner's mind. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about. But why did he say that unless we receive the kingdom of God like a child, we will never enter it? Now, here I think Jesus was talking about, and from what I've read, He was talking about something we call presumed familiarity. You see, as adults, especially as those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time, there is this danger of presumed familiarity, where we think we know all there is to know about God and Jesus and the gospel and the Bible. And or we think our interpretation of God and the Bible and Jesus is 100% correct, and anyone who comes with a different view is wrong. So that is the meaning of presumed familiarity. And I think when we assume we know all there is to know about God or the meaning of the Bible, then we stop receiving God's love like a little child. When we stop approaching God with the mind of the beginner, of a child, as if for a very first time, when we do that, we lose the power, the intrigue of our relationship with God. We lose out on that moment-to-moment realization, that personal connection with God. And I think that when Jesus warns us that we cannot enter God's kingdom unless we receive it like a little child, that Jesus is calling us to approach God with that beginner's mind as if for the first time, again and again, in case our relationship with God becomes something boring, routine, and we even grow indifferent towards God. Sometimes we might even come to resent God because we stop knowing him. We think we know him, but we stop knowing him. Most importantly, Jesus calls us to receive God like little children, because God has welcomed us into his kingdom as his children. That's what we are, children, little children. So I'm going to now do something a little bit different. I'm going to invite us all to join in a time of imaginative and contemplative prayer, where we will be closing our eyes and reimagining this passage today, the story, as if for the very first time, like we've never heard it before. But before we start, I want to point out that a big part of receiving God's love, God's kingdom, like a little child, for many of us here today, is unlearning a lot of what we think we already know. So it's really about stripping away what we presume we know, unlearning where we have learned God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit wrong, and learning, as if for the very first time, like a little child, God in the person of Jesus all over again. So I'm now going to invite you to close your eyes. We'll imagine the passage, and then I'll lead us in prayer to close. So just take a deep breath, a few deep breaths, first of all, and breathe in like you're breathing for the very first time, like you've discovered your lungs. And when you breathe out, just notice where your breath falls, whether it's on the top of your lip, and what relaxes in your body. And as you breathe in and out, just imagine you are one of those little children in the story, that your parents are holding your hand, maybe, and leading you to this famous rabbi, this teacher who they think or they know is the Messiah, called Jesus, and they're leading you to Jesus. Imagine what age you are. What is your age? How are you walking towards Jesus? Are you seeing other children as well? Are you seeing their parents as well? And then suddenly, as you're getting closer and closer to Jesus, the disciples come and they start scolding your parents. Who are these disciples? What do they look like? How many are there? What is the tone of their voice? Are they very aggressive? How do you feel when these disciples scold your parents? Do you feel afraid? Are you angry? Do you feel ashamed, like you don't matter? And then as they're scolding your parents, you hear Jesus tell them, "Let the children come to me. Let Morel come to me. Let Maya come to me. Let Heis come to me. Let Rob come to me. Let Raha come to me. Let Amiela come to me." How do you feel when Jesus calls your name and says, "Let them come to me"? Now you see Jesus' face. What's his age? What does he look like? How is his face when he looks at you, when he's calling you? Is it filled with joy? Is he smiling at you? Does he have mischief in his eyes? And he's calling you and he's calling you and you're going to Jesus. How are you approaching Jesus? Are you running? Are you walking? Are you skipping? Are you jumping? And Jesus is calling and calling you, and suddenly you realize he's calling you to the Father. He's calling you to the comfort of the Spirit. And there is a place for you at the table. There is a place for you in God's kingdom. There is a room for you in God's house. And you belong. You have come home. Imagine that every need that you have to belong, for validation, for recognition, is being met right now as you come into the Father's arms, into God's kingdom. And just rest with that as I lead us in prayer. Lord, we ask for the grace to come to you like little children, trusting in your kingdom promises and fully relying on your provision day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Help us, Lord, to receive your unconditional love with childlike dependence and with the beginner's mind, as if for the very first time, accepting the goodness of your kingdom, bearing the deep needs of our soul for hearing, for validation, for secure belonging, for affection, for play, for beauty. We come bearing all of our needs and our hunger with childlike trust. We trust that in our brokenness, in our neediness, there will be provision. That one day our mourning will turn into joy, our darkness into light, and our spirit of despair into a garment of praise. Lord, help us to know that we are included. And help this inclusion to become real to us, as if for the very first time, to always come to you with childlike vulnerability, reliance, and trust. And then when we accept our place in your kingdom, help us to remember that there is no one who genuinely seeks you who is too bothersome, too undeserving or unimportant to receive your love. Send your spirit to our hearts. Deepen our capacity to receive your kingdom like a little child and to help others receive your love like a little child. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.